As most of you know, as the kids leave, and hopefully all of you brought a Bible. Did you bring a Bible? Show it to me. Let me see it. Let me see all the Bibles. Colton, where's your Bible? You have one, or you can't? You probably can't afford one, huh? I know his family. They are good people. But what I want you to start doing is learn to carry that Bible everywhere, because it's our life source. Would you say amen to that? Amen. Now, the reason that I want people to bring the Word is because, again, I'm the president of the Ministers Network, Cowboy Ministers Network, that we're doing the conference I was kind of telling you about in February. And the Lord has put this on my heart, Rusty. Rusty is one of the board members of, well, as Trey Johnson and Darren Gleghorn from Colorado. And I don't have a theme this year for this conference, and really don't need one. I just told all the speakers, there's how many, Mom? Like 11? 10 or 11 speakers that are speaking at this conference with me. And I just told them, be led by the Spirit. Amen. Because I think that's important, that if you're a son or a daughter of God, means that you're born again, then you're to be led by the Spirit of God. And of course, being led by the Spirit of God is living by the Word of God. But there's also a time when God will drop something in your mind, because we have the mind of Christ. And you won't have to judge if it was you or the Lord, because you have the mind of Christ. Now, you'll judge if it comes from the enemy. And anything contrary to the Word of God is, you know, you cast out that thought unto the obedience of Christ. And so the Lord has put on my heart at this conference, and then I go ahead and preach it right here. And anybody that's watching, a lot of these ministers watch us, they'll just have to hear it again. But then it'll get even better. But what the Lord has really instructed me to do at this conference in February in San Antonio is to speak on authority. And authority is very important to the believer. If not, the devil's going to attack. He's going to do what John 10:10 says, the thief comes not but for to, say it with me, steal, kill, and destroy. And that's why a lot of believers are, they have issues, they go into a trial and tribulation, and they might stay in it for a long period of time. But you are not supposed to stay in a trial and tribulation. You're supposed to maybe go through it, because we're not, any of us are not exempt from trials and tribulations, even the believer. But we've got the key to the kingdom. We have the armor to put on. We have the ways of doing things. That's the kingdom of God. And when you understand that God gives us those ways of doing, then you'll start learning through the Word of God things like authority. That you and I, as a believer in Jesus Christ, have the authority, and God gave it to us, to use the name of Jesus. That's why everything, Colossians says this, that you do in Jesus' name. I've told you probably this before, if you come here very often, that I have ministered to more rodeo announcers, because they'll get in this fearful habit to, they will pray, but then they don't want to say in Jesus' name. They'll say in His name, or they'll just say amen. But listen, the Bible says do everything in Jesus' name, because that's where the power is. And I'm glad I said that word power, because we really dug into it last week, talking about power. And so let's just go over it really, really fast, turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, and read with me, since Jesus is talking, it's in red, at verse 24. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, and it says this, therefore, now remember, in your mind, be thinking about this subject called authority, okay? That's the message today. we're going to talk about the authority of the believer. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. How many of you know, look at me just real fast, that it's very important to be a doer of the Word of God, not just hearing it. Hearing it is a great thing, because we need to hear it, but then when we do it, that's when manifestation comes, you see. So, when you hear the sayings of mine, and then you do them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. This is a great, great parable that Jesus is teaching right here, right? You've probably heard it many times. He built the house, not on sand, we'll talk about that here in a second, but on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall. Underline that if you have a pen. For it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, verse 26, and does not do them, will be like a foolish man built his house on the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, it fell. And great was its fall. I wonder why Jesus wanted to put that last part in there. Because I'm sure you could be thinking right now in your mind about some trial and some tribulation that you might be going through. Key word, get through it, okay? And when you understand authority, then I can promise you, you will get through it. But look at verse 28 and 29. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now look at me. Every one of you believers in here have the authority. And when you understand authority, Jesus is not here any longer, right? He was crucified, third day raised from the dead. Now, what has happened now, the believers carry on the work of the ministry. That's in Ephesians. We're to do the work of the ministry. Not that you have to get behind a podium and preach like one of the called fivefold, we call it, the pastor, the teacher, the apostle, the prophet, and the evangelist. You know, those five are for the perfecting of the saints. This is Ephesians chapter 4 or 5. Okay? When it says to perfect the saints, to do what? The work of the ministry. So you may not be behind here preaching, you know, and pastoring a church or whatever, prophetically doing things. But you're all called to do something. It might be to one person. That may be what God has called you. There's one person that you have influence over that desperately needs ministry. Well, when you understand authority, then you're not going to be in fear. You're just going to do what God called you to do. Say amen to that. Okay? Now let's begin and continue on in this message in the book of Mark. So just turn to your right and go to chapter 3 and look at verse 13. And we kind of went over this. I just want to emphasize it, and then we're going to jump into some new things. But look at verse 13. And he went up on the mountain, this is Jesus, and he called to him those he himself wanted. This was the 12 apostles. And he appointed the 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Okay? Now, verse 15 is very, very, very important for us to understand because it uses this word power. Do you see it in your Bible in verse 15? And to have power, so when he sent out those 12, he wanted them to have this power. Well, listen to me. All of us today have this power. And when you study it, that power is to what? It says it. Heal the sickness, In other words, the preacher can't go to the hospital constantly. I mean, I need to teach you to go lay hands on the sick so that they'll recover. Mark 16. If you do it, you don't have to be a theologian. All you got to do is be a believer. All you got to do is be one with authority to go up to someone that's in the hospital that you know and just say, hey, you mind if I pray for you? And then simply pray the prayer of faith. Father, in Jesus' name, I call this precious one healed in Jesus' name. And you don't have to have a bunch of these thous and thuses, right? All you got to do is understand the authority that you have as a believer in Jesus. And when you do it in Jesus' name, not under your own authority, because it doesn't mean anything, right? But when you use the name of Jesus, that's the name above all names, whatever you're going to pray for in that hospital for that specific person, if you know what it is, then call it by name. Because there's power. So if they're having issues with their heart, like our brother Daryl, then what Ricky would do is just go lay hands on him, which I know y'all did, and speak the word of faith. Things like, I command that heart in Jesus' name to be healed. And that blockage to unblock. Well, they did it. And he got out of the hospital fast. But if you don't understand authority and the power, this power that God's talking about here, then it's easy then to get in unbelief when manifestation of healing doesn't happen immediately. I'm here to tell you, I was raised in some denominations that they literally preach that God doesn't heal all. And then they say things to justify it like, well, if it be God's will. But I'm here to tell you, God, through the word of God, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on. Get into some agreement with me, because when you understand that Jesus is the same, then if he healed blind Bartimaeus, he has to heal you. All you've got to do is believe. All things are possible to him that believes. So if you don't believe because you don't have any knowledge of the authority that you walk in Jesus, you can't do anything without Jesus. People have called me, man, that's a Jesus freak. Amen to that. Hallelujah. As I want to be a Jesus freak. Why? Because I don't want to do anything in the name of Corey Ross, which means nothing. But when you do something in Jesus' name, that's why when you see my face under the anointing up here, you'll see a boldness, right? Because I do. I've walked in this boldness for years. Matter of fact, when I was ministering in El Paso one time, a man walked up to me and he said, don't ever lose that boldness. And I didn't understand it at that particular time because I was so brand new in the ministry. But now I do. Because a lot of times when you don't understand the authority that you walk in Jesus' name, because of the enemy telling you you don't know enough scripture, or you haven't done good things, or you've sinned and done too many bad things. And he's just a liar. How many of you know that? He's just wanting you to get into unbelief. No, all you got to know is the authority by, number one, being born again, and Jesus being your Lord and Savior. And then coming to church, going to Bible studies to learn who you are in Christ. And that's why we come to church, is we get taught, wow, I've never really understood authority, you see. Okay, well, let's break it down. All right, so 15, and have power to heal sickness, cast out demons. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, and he goes through all these names. But I want to show you what that word power really means. Because even in the Greek and the Hebrew, when you study it out, we found out last week, it's a word called exousia. And here's what it means. It means the authority. This is talking to us believers. If Jesus is your Lord, then this is, you have this authority. You have this power. Not a Batman power. I always say it like, not Superman, but I'm talking about the power and the authority or the right to act, the ability, the privilege, the capacity, delegated authority, it explains. Jesus had exousia to do what? To forgive? Well, you have that same authority. If someone's done you wrong, you have the exousia power to forgive them. Yeah, but I can't forgive them because you don't know, preacher, what they did to me. Right? Yeah, but you've got the authority to forgive. You're just going to have to act. Remember at the very start of Matthew when we was reading, it says, if you do the things that I've said. So you've got to act on forgiveness. Okay? So we have the exousia power to forgive sin just like Jesus. To heal. Not us healing. Don't get that wrong now. You'll get in trouble. No, we're doing everything in Jesus' name. So we've got to go do what Jesus has already accomplished. And we've just got to believe. We've got to go lay hands on the sick. And then they'll recover. But we've got to teach faith to them. And that's what we're doing right here, praise God. Exousia is the right to use another Greek word called dunamis. And dunamis power, woo! That's that power that raised Jesus from the dead. Dunamis. And well, that's might. And Jesus gave his fellow, all of his followers, and he's talking about the 12 here, but he's talking to all of us, y'all. He gave us the power, the exousia, to preach. Not again, it doesn't have to be behind a podium, but if you have influence with someone, then you need to preach to them sometimes and not be ashamed to. And again, you don't have to have lots of memorization in Scripture. No, you just need to know who you are and the authority that you walk in. Get them born again, first of all. That's why at the end of the service, I pray the same salvation prayer over and over and over. Lord, I open the door of my heart. Don't you know it by now? You should have said it over and over and over. I open the door of my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised you, Jesus, from the dead. And today I'm saved. I always say that, right? Well, the reason that I say the same salvation prayer over and over is to teach all of you, like I was taught, how to lead people to Jesus. Okay? That's what this is talking about right here, y'all. When you understand that word exousia or dunamis, then it's to preach. It's to teach people. And we have to have that heart about all of us. And I always say it like this, y'all. We're not coming to church to just receive. Because as y'all have heard me talk about sheep and goats many times, we don't want to be fat sheep. Just receive, receive, receive. Because fat sheep, in a practical way on the ranch, get caught up in the mesquite tree by the wool, and they don't have enough strength because they're so fat to get out of it, and they'll die if you don't come get them out as the shepherd. So we don't want to be just receiving, we want to give it out. We want to be able to teach people the joy of the Lord. The peace of God that passes understanding. Say amen to this. And when you teach it, man, you teach it with some authority. Jesus is your only hope. Today, me and my wife are right after this service. I apologize that I'm going to have to exit pretty fast today. Because Some people that used to come here, matter of fact, they are the company that put in all of the fire alarms, everything you see here is the company. His name was Alan Kennebrew. And he called me about a week ago, and his son was killed on 183. And I baptized him. I mean, I led him to Jesus. And he came and did, his son and his dad came, and his dad just bawling. And I'm going to go and do a celebration service because, thank God, he was saved. But listen, it's not going to be fun. I mean, I don't do funerals and even weddings hardly anymore just because of my schedule. But I knew I had to do this one. And they're heartbroken. Well, you know what I'm going to do? Is I'm going to preach faith. There's going to be possibly a lot of people there that don't come to church. They won't set foot in a church. And I told them point blank, I will never do. It's still hot in here, isn't it? I almost turn on the air conditioner if you want to. Is anybody in here that can handle a key? There's Heidi getting up. Look at her. Everybody look at Heidi. She's going that. But you know what I'm going to do at this celebration? I call it a celebration. Because really, the body's not going to be there. The Bible says to be absent from that body is to be present with the Lord. And no matter how tragic it was, he's in the presence of God. Because I know. But it's not going to be fun. But what I'm going to do with authority is I'm going to tell them that Jesus is the only hope. Well, that's what you do. When you come across someone that's hurting in some area, then you give them hope. And when you understand your authority, brother, then all you got to do is say, hey, Jesus is your only hope. You don't have to know anything other than that. Jesus is your only hope. And then the more you learn about authority, you'll understand this Greek word, exousia, that you begin to teach them, heal, deliver. The authority, listen to me, the authority that we walk in has never been rescinded. It still works to the believer today. Matter of fact, we need it today more than any other time. Because that enemy is attacking, right? I mean, he's attacking. And I'm tired of that devil, right? But when you understand the authority, that's when you say, Satan, listen to me. When you know who you are in Christ, like I know all of you do, when you know who you are in Christ Jesus, and you understand authority, you don't have to cow down to a devil. Amen. The devil is just a fallen angel. An angel cannot sit in the presence of God. He has to stand, according to the Word. But you and I that are created in the image of God, in His likeness, can sit, can stand, praise God. Why? Because we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are someone in Christ. Not, well, you're not worthy, brother. We're not worthy. We're just little old worms living on this earth. Your mama. Now, I'm talking to the devil, not y'all. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So when you're talking to the enemy, talk with authority. Devil, you're just a fall. He doesn't operate in the flesh, in other words. Now, he has to put a temptation on a human being, and then that human being has to submit to the spirit of darkness that the enemy puts in their mind or whatever. Well, not a believer. All we got to do is understand that Romans says we have authority, there's that word again, over sin. We can say yes to God, we can say no to Him. We can say yes to the devil, we can say no to the devil. That's what we do with authority. We say no. I'm not getting into fear. I'm not getting into doubt. I'm not going to get into unbelief. Devil, get thee behind me in Jesus' name. Matter of fact, why don't you do what the Word says? Get under my feet. We're the ones that elevate the enemy. I can't tell you how many times people blame the devil. And we just give him authority. And he has no authority, y'all. He understands where he's going one day. He may be the prince of the air right now, but not over a believer. Because you, man, when you understand authority, that's when you can speak to the mountain. Whatever, what's the mountain in your life? I don't know. I mean, unless you come want some counsel, then I'll know about your mountain. But I really don't know your mountains, but you do. So the word with authority, when you do things in Jesus' name, you speak to the mountain and command. I mean, no military. Who's raised in the military here? Let me see your hand. There's one, two, three. There's some of y'all. Did your the one that's in command over you, did they say, sir, pretty please, would you do some push-ups? Right? No, with authority that they have in the military, they go, drop and give me 20. Right? That's what I tell my son. Every time he misses a steer, Colton, you know, you've been to my house many, many times. I say, okay, if you miss a steer, you got to give me 10 push-ups or 20 or whatever. And he had to do quite a few. Or me and Dalton understand that I have this rule at our house that when you take off the halter of your horse, you don't just drop it. You tie it up. Because if you drop it and it's tied, the end of it is tied, then a horse can step in it and get in trouble. So you always tie up your halter. If you don't tie up your halter and you got in a hurry to put your bit on, your tie down, your bit on, and you leave that halter just hanging, that's going to cost you some push-ups. When I tell Seth to drop and give me 20 as a dad, I don't say please. Okay? Why? Well, because I've got the authority. Well, I don't anymore because he went to college. So now I got to trust him to act right. I've taught him right. That's all I'll say about that. Authority has never been rescinded. Turn over then to another gospel, the book of John, to your right, and go to 14. Chapter 14. John chapter 14. Thank you, Lord. Say amen when you get to chapter 14. Now look at verse 12. Jesus is talking again. Again, authority that God gave you and I as a believer in Jesus' name has never been rescinded. Look, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do. Why? Because I go, Jesus is saying, I go to my Father. So he's not here any longer. And whatever you ask in my name, there it is, in Jesus' name, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, don't forget, it's got to be according to the Word of God. I will do it. I mean, people can get that out of whack right there. Well, if that's the truth, then, Father, drop $1 million out of the sky onto my head. No, the principles of God are yes and amen. You've got to sow the seed in order for the harvest to come. So, if you didn't sow the seed, he's not going to drop it out of heaven. But, man, when you sow the seed, he can bring it to you in some amazing ways. He calls the fish to bring some tax money, remember? Oh, this Bible's so good if you'll read it. Amen. All right, now look. So what we just learned right here is if authority, it hasn't been rescinded, then we have the authority to do what Jesus did and even greater things. Not on our authority, we're doing everything in his name. In the name of Jesus. Man, when you get a hold of this, it'll change your life, y'all. Because when there's attack an attack of the enemy in whatever way. Say a doctor says you're going to die of some type of cancer, let's say. You have a choice. You can either receive what he says as truth, or you can believe what the Word of God, the great physician, says. You may tell you what I would do. I'd believe the Word of God. Because it may be the fact that the doctor diagnosed you with something, but that is not the truth. Because the truth is the Word of God that says you're healed by Jesus' stripes. Okay? And if you believe this truth, remember, that's authority. That's power. That's doing things in Jesus' name. Okay, so Father, I realize that the fact is that the doctor said this, but the truth is, by Jesus' beating, the cat of nine tails, I'm healed. And if you believe that more than the fact, then the truth will override the fact. And that's when manifestation of healing will take place. It's according to your faith, so don't get confused. Well, God just doesn't heal everybody. Yes, he does. He heals all that believes. So what my job as the pastor of this church is to get your faith up. That's what I did in Crohn's, remember? I said, no, sir, I don't receive Crohn's. I don't receive that. And I was healed by the power of God in Jesus' name, and I thank him daily. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I give him praise, y'all. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. Okay? Now, you know what I'm going to tell those ministers, Rusty? Powerless ministries become powerful upon discovering the exousia power resident in the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. I want to clap. I just do. Because there's some powerless ministers out there that just, man, they don't have a lot of knowledge of the Word of God because of their training in this one denomination, possibly. And I love them all, by the way. I was raised a lot of them. But sometimes without knowledge, then people perish. And I want to understand that if the enemy is attacking me, is that God doing it to try to teach me a lesson? Now, you can learn a lot of things through a trial and tribulation, but I would never say God was the source of your heartache. Why? Because there's a devil. Steals, kills, and destroys. And God's a life giver. John 10:10 always says it. If you would just keep reading, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that we might have life and more abundant life. So God's got the key to getting out of issues. So I'm not going to blame God. No, God says, no, I'll give you the way out. You're not exempt from that trial and tribulation, but here's the way out. Speak to the mountain, command it to be cast in the sea. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe the things that you say will come to pass, and you'll have whatsoever you say. So that's why I'm trying to get people to understand. Start speaking the word. And if you don't know the word for a lack of knowledge, then keep your mouth shut. Say amen louder than that. I can preach for a long period of time. Because we're constantly speaking fear, doubt, and unbelief and not knowing it. We don't mean to. But there's power in the tongue. It's like a two-edged sword, the word says. Anyway. Praise God. All right. Now, real quick as we close, flip back to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. And I want to close with this right here because this is a very, very important thing that we need to learn. Mark chapter 3. We just came out of verse 19, let's say, when you read that whole. But go to verse 20. Mark chapter 3 and verse 20. Then the multitude came together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. I mean, they were tight, in other words. But when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. All Jesus was doing was preaching, sin and death, resurrection, Redemption, I'm the Son of God. That's all Jesus was doing. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he is Beelzebub, which is the devil. So they started saying, because of Jesus' confession of faith, because he was saying he was the Son of God, because he was saying, hey, you've got exousia authority and power, dunamis power. In the name that's above every name, Jesus, do what I tell you to do and do it in my name, Jesus says. And they came against him. The scribes came down. They said he was the devil, basically. And by the ruler of the demons, he cast out demons. They are saying all kinds of junk. Verse 23, so he called them to himself and said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? I mean, he started making them foolish, in other words. If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Verse 28, look at this. Assuredly I say, Jesus said, all sins will be forgiven. Thank God for that. Thank God for grace and mercy. When we mess up, thank God for grace, mercy, forgiveness. Say amen to that. And I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they may utter, but he who blasphemies against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness. Listen to me. Look at me just real fast. You know what that means? You would literally have to say, I don't believe in Jesus. That's blaspheming the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit draws all men unto him. He brings your heart to the Savior. That's what the Spirit of God does. That's what we should be doing, right? Okay, but check this out. Verse 29. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation because he said he has an unclean spirit. Let me tell you what this is really talking about. Is what's happening in the body of Christ is a dividing. I mean, you know what we need? You know what the ministers' conference needs more than anything? Is unity. The body of Christ doesn't need to be fighting against the Baptists and how they worship, and then the charismatic or the Pentecostal because of their ways of worship. You know what we need to do? We need to come in unity of the faith. We need to understand that, praise God, the Baptists, they do it their way, and the Pentecostals do it their way, and the Church of Christ do it their way, and the Assembly of God does it their way, and the Methodists, they do it their way, and whatever church that's out there does it their way, as long as they're all leading to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't get upset. But I'm telling you right now, there's a dividing that's going on, man. We're getting upset. Matter of fact, there's people on Facebook that believes it's their mission to correct all these, what they might say are false prophets. And I'd probably say, keep your mouth shut. That Facebook stuff will get you in big trouble. I better not go there. That might take me a little bit long. Listen, I don't have time to go to Titus, but maybe we'll go there next time. All I want you to understand is, man, let's start walking into the authority that God gave us. Amen? Not holier than thou, not goody two-shoes, not better than someone else, because we're not. We walk in humility. But we don't deny the authority, the exousia dunamis. Those two words, power, authority. Power, authority. And when you walk in that as a believer, that's when you have peace that passes understanding. Because that's the first thing that those this precious family that I'm going to be ministering to at 2 o'clock. That's the first thing they said. We don't understand. Why? And all my job is I'm going to uplift Jesus. Because really, we can start blaming, but let's blame the true source, the enemy, that does not want you to prosper, that does not want you to be healthy, that does not want you to be successful. The enemy is the one that is trying to bring you down, bringing you into confusion, bringing you into fear, doubt, and unbelief, bringing you into suicide, into depression, and the list can go on and on and on. You being moved by what you did in your past, sin-wise. Do you realize that the Bible says, forget those things that are behind and press forward to the mark of the high calling? He didn't say, you know, you need to dwell on all the things you did in your past. No. The Bible says when you ask God to forgive you, He throws that sin into the sea of forgetfulness. Remember? Remembers your sin when you say, God, forgive me. When you walk in forgiveness, He forgives you as far as the east is the west. He doesn't remember it any longer. That's a good God. That's a wonderful God. I would serve Him just on that part. Because He don't remember what I did in college. Come on, laugh a little bit louder. I mean, but look in the mirror. He probably needs to forgive you of some stuff too and forget it. Right? That's the graciousness of our God. And it's all because of the power. Okay? Here's the deal though. You won't have that exousia authority or dunamis power unless you have Jesus as Lord. So do you have Jesus as Lord? I mean, I know this church might be, you know, we have a fiddle and we do worship a little different and, you know, we don't pass out a bulletin and there's the offering amount is not on the back wall. That's how I was raised. And the attendance. We had 60 people last Sunday and the offering was $865. And you could see it as you walked out. Well, if you're a tither at this church, I'll let you look at the books. We don't. If you're not a tither, you're not looking at them. You wouldn't look at names and who gave what, but you can see what came in. I don't mind that a bit. We don't hide anything at this church. But listen to me. All those religious things mean nothing. I want to know authority. I want to know when I leave this ranch. I want to know when the enemy tries to attack me. I want to know what to do. Do I cow down? Do I get into fear? No, I want to get into belief. You cannot do that without believing in Jesus. So is He your Lord? A lot of people get saved at this church. That's one thing. I don't know sometimes why they'll get, God will bring them in, they'll get saved, and then they'll leave and go to a church. That's fine with me. I've set up when I'm gone through three other ministers that teach. And I mean, I bring in the prophet, praise God. He'll be at that ministry. I want to do, the work of the ministry. I want to teach y'all right. I don't mind discipling. I don't mind mentorship. I love it. I just don't have a lot of time for it. So I bring in the right people. But people get saved here, and that's fruit. And when they get saved at a church, you better stay hooked. Plant. Because you don't see that at every church. If there's anybody at the sound of my voice that has never given their heart to Jesus, and I'm talking about you don't know what would happen to if you died. You don't know if you die. That boy, Cole, that I'm fixing to celebrate his going to heaven, he gave his heart to Jesus. And I baptized him back there in the back. They were at this church for a long time. I know he was born again. But there's people that are coming to this church or they're watching us that they may not know what would happen to them if they died. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray a prayer. Romans 10:9. I'm going to pray and we're going to confess with our mouths See, there's something about speaking Jesus and asking Him to come into our heart. We don't do it under our breath. We speak it. So we're going to pray Romans 10:9. We're going to confess that Jesus is Lord and invite Him to be the Lord of our life, come into our heart and save us. And then believe that God raised Him from the dead. The Bible says in that book of Romans that you'll be saved. So that when you die and leave this earth, even at 27 years old, you're going to bust heaven wide open. You're going to be in the presence of God. But listen to me. God is not a man that He can lie. If you choose, because you got a will, all of us have a will, you can say, nope, I don't want to have anything to do with that God stuff. You can do that. I'd ask you not to do that, though. I beg you. Give your heart to Jesus, because if you deny and you don't want to have anything to do with this God stuff while you live here, then you're going to bust a place called hell wide open. Well, I don't want that to happen. That's why I do what I do. I want you to go to heaven. So if you're here and you don't know what would happen to you if you died and left this earth, I want you to pray this prayer. But all the believers in here, remember, we're going to pray this prayer with you. We're going to learn it, but we're going to pray it with you. And we're going to confess Jesus. So every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, then I want you to confess Him as Lord by praying this prayer with all of us. And let's pray it out loud. We're not ashamed of Jesus becoming our Lord. So again, if you're watching or if you're here in this audience and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to do it right now, and we'll all pray the prayer with you. And here's how we'll pray it. You ready? Say it out loud. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead. Today I'm saved, coming to heaven when I leave this earth. But while I live here on this earth, I need Jesus. I need a Savior. I need peace. I need joy. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed, if possible. I don't want to embarrass anybody, and I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. If you just gave your heart to Jesus, though, and you prayed that prayer for the very first time and meant it, today you're saved, born again. Angels in heaven are rejoicing. If that's you, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up, put it right back down. And I want you to do it with boldness. I always say it like this. Jesus says, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. We're not ashamed of Jesus being our Lord. So if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, get that hand up, put it right back down at the count of three. You ready? With boldness. One, two, three, go. All right, look at me. I didn't see any hand, do y'all? That means all of us are believers, right? So thank God. We need to get people that... Here may be the deal. Y'all are leading them to Jesus. And that's the key. Amen? All right, did y'all have a good time?